Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, well, it's more of the same, I'm afraid. We have a small craft advisory in effect through late tonight and a gale watch in effect from late tonight through Wednesday afternoon. Southwest winds 20 to 25 knots, gusting to 30 knots, easing to 15 to 20, but gusts are going to be still up to 35 knots. Near thunderstorms and stronger showers, so there is a possibility of thunderstorms today. Combined seas 15 feet, with a dominant period of about 13 seconds between those wave crests. Slight chance of thunderstorms early in the morning and showers. And the Columbia River bar is on green status this morning. The seas are up there in the low teens. As if they get higher, we might see some sort of restrictions on ship traffic. But right now, everything is going as usual. And this weather seems pretty relentless. If you're interested in tracking weather the way I am, the National Weather Service is the source for all the data that is used by various apps. But a couple of apps that I really like that I know a bunch of people around here use, one is called Windy and the other is called Storm Radar. And they are just really good at showing you kind of the big picture. They take all this data and put it into moving real-time graphics, projected forecast of when a storm is going to hit. And it just sort of gives you an idea of when the next onslaught is going to arrive on the coast from these storms that are hitting us. And today we're going to talk, well, today I'm tired of talking about the weather. You probably are too. So I thought we'd talk about something else, Cascadia subduction zone tsunamis and how scientists figured out that just this past week was the anniversary of that. I think January 26, 1700 was the date they figured out that that magnitude 8 or 9 quake occurred in 1700, the one that sort of has informed all of our alerts and things that we're worried about now, because there's it's a good chance that that quake could happen again. But we'll talk about a little bit more about how scientists figured out that that was the date, that was the anniversary of that earthquake. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 3 inbounders. We have 5 in our Astoria anchorage. We have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the ANSAC Columbia. The ANSAC is an acronym, American Natural Soda Ash Corporation, and we actually have 2 ANSAC ships on the river today, 1 inbound and 1 outbound. This is the ANSAC Columbia. They always carry soda ash. She's arriving from the Philippines, headed for the Vancouver anchorage, but she's ultimately headed for the Port of Portland to a berth there that is dedicated to soda ash. Soda ash is used to make automotive glass. That's its most widely known use, and so we send soda ash to Asia. It comes back to us on those car carriers in the form of automotive glass. She'll pass Astoria around 1 p.m. inbound and arrive in Vancouver's anchorage by about 7 p.m. The Asia Pearl 7 is arriving from Port Angeles, headed for the Astoria anchorage. Probably wheat, although I can't really tell what her cargo is right now. Too early to tell. Sometimes ships come in and it isn't really clear on the information that I have what they're going to be picking up, but they're going to be picking up something or they wouldn't have taken on a pilot and come into the river. But the paperwork may still be ongoing when some of these ships are in the process of arriving here. So she'll be in the anchorage off Astoria by about 4:30 p.m. And the SM Ningbo, arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia to Portland, a container ship. I always wave a little flag and cheer when I see them because I love container ships. Passing Astoria around 11:30 p.m., she'll be in Portland by about 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday. This marks the return of this year of container ships to the Columbia River, which is really exciting for ship watchers. Container ships are just so interesting, and they bring us our 90% of everything. In the Astoria anchorage, we have 5 vessels awaiting orders: the Daria Jamuna, the Econ Pallada, the TD Hamburg, the Meme Vangelist JR, and the Pan Bicorn. They're all awaiting orders. I'm not quite sure what cargoes are there, but some kind of agricultural mineral cargo or logs are the possibilities there. And most logs that are going out of the Columbia are probably going to Japan right now because of the tariffs, Chinese tariffs. And the ANSAC Moonbear is heading out of Longview. She's got soda ash on board. Soda ash is also a cargo you can pick up at the Port of Longview. Leaving around 6:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 a.m. I love that name, Moonbear, and she comes in quite often. And I thought, what is Moonbear? So I looked it up, and it is it's another name for a black Asian bear. So it is named for a real bear, a real kind of bear. The Nicolene Bulker is leaving Kalama leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. I think she came in with steel on board, so I'm not sure what she might be outbound with. Could be ballast water to stabilize her till she goes to get her next cargo. The African Batis is leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. And the Iris Leader is leaving Portland with, she's a car carrier, with Hondas and maybe some Fords on board going to Asia, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. Well, let's not talk about the weather for at least for a day or so. Let's talk a little bit about this anniversary. Just a couple of days ago, which I saw in various articles in different places, about the 320th now anniversary of this magnitude, this huge earthquake that happened here in the Cascadia subduction zone, which is the area along the coast between Vancouver Island, BC, and Cape Mendocino, California. It's an area offshore, geologic area that is very similar in configuration to the area off Japan where that terrible earthquake happened in 2011. So approximately 9 p.m. on Pacific time on January 26, 1700, this earthquake occurred. So this is very interesting. There were no clocks back then, at least here. And how did they know? How did they figure this out? There was no record keeping of that kind happening here. So apparently, lots and lots of research by scientists looking at what was left over from the tsunami to find out what the physical effects were in the landscape that they could document. So scientists in the 1980s and 90s, and before then, they had no idea that this tsunami had occurred or that this earthquake had occurred. Scientists started looking at northwest coastal lands and studying them. And among them was a person called Dr. Brian Atwater, whose name you may have heard. He's a University of Washington professor and wrote a book called The Orphan Tsunami of 1700. And he was quite key in discovering this, that the lands had subsided suddenly and were inundated by waves and mud. And they could see this in the sediment and in the deaths of trees that had been killed by salt water. Today we call them ghost forests. So they used carbon dating on fossilized trees and other plants, and they were able to compare tsunami records in Japan and back timing how long it would take for a wave to reach there from here. And scientists finally settled on that date and time for when it happened. And in Japan, it was called the Orphan Tsunami because it happened in Japan with no earthquake to cause it. So it's been 320 years since that happened, well within the margin for another one to happen. And this earthquake is the basis for all of the tsunami preparedness that we see now. I remember going on, being very fortunate to go on an afternoon canoe trip with a bunch of other people with Dr. Atwater up the Lewis and Clark River at low tide. And he showed us in the sediment, he showed us the tree roots that had been killed by the salt water. And he showed us the sediment lines that showed this was an inundation of silt from the sea. And so he was able to show us in that sediment exactly when those earthquakes, more than one apparently, but this one is the one main documented one, happened. So very, very interesting scientific detective work to figure this out. Well, I also want to tell you about something that's happening this morning at the Columbia River Maritime Museum in Astoria on the waterfront at 17th Street. There's a talk by Columbia River bar pilot. He's retired now, but he's a pilot, Robert Johnson, talking about anchors and anchoring. And I've had people on the show, including Captain Johnson, talking about the whole topic of anchoring, which is taking a really, really big ship the size of a large building and stopping it when there are no brakes. That's my short answer. But his answer to this question, how do you do that, will be very, very interesting. So 10:30 this morning at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. He's a really great speaker and always very well prepared. And so I would advise, if you have the ability to go to this, you might check it out today, 10:30 at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.